Zach. Good evening, everyone. I have my sermon. For those of you who have been following our story of moving house, that's a blessing. To have it in my hands is great. I looked for things, looked for another Bible today, couldn't find it. Looked for a folder, couldn't find it. Thankfully, the sermon was there, so we praise God for that. Take your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Numbers, please. Numbers chapter 13. And verse 30, we're going to do a people study tonight. We've been looking into various ways of studying the Bible this year in our Life Sages class, and people studies is one of those ways in which we can learn things, because God puts things in the Bible for us to learn. And in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, there's a verse that spoke to me, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Context of this passage of Scripture is found at the start of chapter 13. In verse 1, the Bible reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." 12 spies were sent out, among them a man named Caleb. After checking out the people and the produce, the spies returned, but they couldn't agree on their report. Verse 26. The majority, 10 in fact, discouraged the people from going forward to the promised land of Canaan, and uproar followed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time to open your word tonight. Thank you for your precious word that teaches us how to live. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will lead and guide throughout this study tonight, that we may learn something. Give us listening ears and an open heart, Lord, as we work through your precious word tonight. And we ask that in and through it all, your name is lifted up and glorified. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Being a grown-up and making grown-up decisions can be tough. Not that I'd ever want to go back to being a teenager. And yes, it's wonderful when you get that first taste of freedom from mum and dad. You know, that first car, that first apartment, that one and only special friend. And you get married, pardon me, and you enjoy a honeymoon together, and you plan, and you pray, hope you pray, and you organise a wonderful life together. Adulting. It's called. All care and no responsibility, right? No, not so. As you grow older and you add children, mortgages, rent, school fees, camp fees, conference fees, car repairs, sickness, holidays, things change quickly. You start to wipe the bathroom window for a clearer vision because, strangely, your stunning good looks seem to be covered with mist or fading or something. Suddenly there's more month than money, and the life decisions you're sure you prayed about don't seem to be turning out the way that they should, or you thought they should. Be careful, brethren, you're headed for trouble. In this passage of Scripture, we see a group of 12 men with similar expectations. Rulers, the Bible says. The best of the best from the 12 tribes. On an incredible adventure to spy out the promised land. En route to a land flowing with milk and honey, to measure up their part of the inheritance on behalf of their tribe. And yet they are so discouraged, they declare it's just not going to happen. But on the other hand, we see a man named Caleb encouraging the people to go forward, even though he only had one supporter, Joshua. In Numbers 13:30, it was Caleb, not Joshua, not Moses, who stilled the people when they became unruly. And Caleb. Caleb, who had seen and observed the strength of the inhabitants as much as the other spies. Yet while they shirked the task ahead, he stepped up to speak boldly of success. "We are well able to overcome it." Caleb speaks as someone resolved to lead on. "Let us go up at once. one bold step, one bold stroke more. We will do what we have to do. It's all our own if we have but the courage to make it so. Let's go up and possess it. He doesn't say, let's go up and conquer it. He looks upon it as good as done already. He said, let's go up and possess it. Like there's nothing to be done except enter the land. Take possession of what God has already given to us. Beloved, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Difficulties that lie in the way of the Christian dwindle and vanish before a lively, active faith in the power and promises of God. All things are possible to him that believes. Amen. I think that's why I became so intrigued by this Caleb. If you are like me, well, maybe it's just me, I need encouragement in these days. I want a lively, active faith. Who was this Caleb? How did he live his life? What can we learn from his attitudes and achievements? So tonight I want to do a little Bible study on this person and find out how we can apply to our lives what the Bible says about this man. So let's start by examining his character. Those of you who like to write down numbers, number one, his character. I should mention that Caleb's name appears some 36 times in Scripture. But be careful, three different Calebs are mentioned. So to distinguish, this one is known as Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. We know he was a ruler in the tribe of Judah, the leading tribe. Yet, according to most Bible dictionaries, the name Caleb means dog. And that's a bit of a letdown. Some could say that it's insulting. After all, who would call his son by a name that means dog? But here we are. We've encountered a man whose name means dog. But let's just think about it for a moment. See, Brother Francois laughing already. Let's just think about it for a moment. There's a significance in the name Caleb. God just doesn't put something in Scripture for no reason. Caleb's name actually speaks to his character. He possessed a faithfulness that is often associated with dogs. And no doubt you've heard the saying, a dog is a man's best friend. That's because of their great loyalty to their master. You've probably all heard stories of a dog's love and dedication to his master. When I was growing up, we had a dog. My brother Dennis had a dog. His name was Pal. It was my brother Dennis's dog. It wasn't my dog, it was his dog. Little, white and red foxy. And I could play with it, no problems. I could walk it, I could feed it, but I wasn't its master. No way. As soon as Dennis came home, the dog was at his feet. I was chopped liver. And if I raised my hand against Dennis, not that I would, of course, seeing he was my big brother, but you had to watch out, that dog would come straight at you with its teeth bared, loyal to its master to the end. And in the same way, we must also emulate this attribute when we come to our God. Our loyalty and allegiance must be for God and God alone. As one preacher said, the best way to develop a reputation for faithfulness and loyalty is simply keep doing right. Christian, is that your goal? To keep doing right? Do right until the stars fall, Bob Jones Sr. used to say. So Caleb's name means dog. Faithful and loyal. But let's see some other qualities of this man. Secondly, we see that he was chosen. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 6, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. We've already learned he was one of the 12 spies, one of the privileged chosen to see firsthand what God promised his people. And that he was a ruler, someone who had shown initiative and distinguished himself before others. You know, God can use people of initiative today. Few people want to step out and lead. Leave me alone with my iPhone or iPad, and oh yes, feed me when I'm hungry, but don't ask me to do anything that involves leaving my comfort zone. Christian, today more than ever, we need to stand up. If we desire to be chosen vessels, used of God, we must be preparing ourselves today. Young people, you need to be ready to walk by faith if you ever want to see God's promises fulfilled in your lives. And think about this, every call of God to his people is a call to those in whom he delights. Therefore, those that heed his call should know that no difficulties need put them off. They're not called to meet them in their own strength. God will be with them in the path of obedience. Amen. Our kids went out to Broken Hill this week on a school excursion. When I had a school excursion, we got a bus to Sydney from Tamworth. They got a bus to Broken Hill. And when they went out there, part of the trip was to go to a church on Wednesday night, Independent Baptist Church in Broken Hill. If it had said to me there was an Independent Baptist Church in Broken Hill, I would have asked, who? Well, why? But there is a church there. And they were able to be a blessing to that church. There was 30 of them that turned up for their Wednesday night service after being going through about a third of the town, I think, tracting during the day. And I said, who is pastoring this church? And there is a pastor at Broken Hill who was in Sydney but chose to go to Broken Hill because he heard there was a vacancy and a need for a pastor. He was called of God to go to Broken Hill and to take up the cudgel there. And that's, so how many do they normally get? About 30 on Sunday morning. How many do they normally get Wednesday night? About 10. But he's faithful and he's loyal and he's there and he's obviously chosen. Has God called you? Does he delight in you? Caleb recognized this because we also see he was courageous. In Numbers 13:30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Now, it would have taken some courage to stand up before that revved up mob and calm them down. Jewish tradition says he was gifted with a loud voice, so I guess he used that to his advantage here. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14 and verses 6 through 9. And let's look at the reaction of the people to the two good spies. Numbers 14, 6 through 9. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defence is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And look at the reaction. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Okay then, so this is not a peaceful bunch. Caleb needed courage to say what he had to say. It's been well said, the Christian life is a battle, not a holiday. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, these are some powerful enemies. The devil doesn't fight fair. The temptation we face is to focus on our problems rather than on God. And when we give into that temptation, we find our hearts filled with fear. And that's exactly what happened to the Israelites when they heard the report from the 10 spies about the giants in the land. Giants later driven out by Caleb, I might add. And that's exactly what can happen to you and I if we're not prepared for the daily battle. How's your quiet time? Do you pray? Do you read your Bible every day? You need to put on the whole armour of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. You can't just go about your day getting up in the morning and just going, right, well, here I am, Lord, use me today, and off you go. You have to have a set time, just set apart. And the temptation is, and the busy schedule is to get busy. Your mind is busy. Our minds, Michelle and I, our minds have been going 1,000 miles an hour since we started moving house. There's so many things you've got to think about, and so many little areas of things that need to be crossed off. But the first thing that needs to be crossed off every day is that time in the Word and the time in prayer. Otherwise, the rest of the day just doesn't work out. And it was Caleb and Joshua who stood up and trusted God to do what he said he would do. And you and I, we need to be courageous and trust God in these last days. Maybe it's just me, but I reckon people are getting meaner every day out there. Just when you think things couldn't get any worse, another tragedy happens. And those that are carrying out these things, they have little or no regard for human life. We shouldn't be surprised. We should be shocked. We should be saddened, for sure, but not surprised as Bible-believing Christians, because we're living in the end times. It's the sign of the coming Messiah. Jesus Christ is coming again, hopefully soon. Amen? So we've seen that Caleb had character. We saw he was chosen and he was courageous. But also notice that Caleb was cared for while the other spies perished. In Numbers chapter 14, verses 37 and 38. 37 and 38. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search out the land, lived still. And again in Numbers chapter 26 and 65, you don't have to turn there, but there was not a man left of them save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Those two, the men who constituted the minority, and aren't we in the minority these days? The men who constituted the minority, the men who had seen much more than their enemies and walled cities, remained because their vision of God was unclouded. They were loyal to God and to their faith. Now, they had to share in the discipline of the nation, like everybody else. And we have to share in the discipline of our nation for decisions that are being made beyond our control. We have a vote, and we can vote. But there are decisions that happen that are beyond our control, and we have to share in that. We just have to keep praying for our nation and for the leaders. And these guys, Caleb and Joshua, had to watch as a whole generation of unbelieving men passed away. And there have been several Bible commentators who did the math, and the numbers on those who died in the wilderness is staggering. Over a million. That's a lot of funerals in 40 years. And these guys had to go through that ritual. But Caleb had been cared for, preserved if you like, an elect remnant, and a living link with the great deliverance brought about by the Exodus. Through this we see God's continuing purpose. It's always so. Happy are those who are filled with the Spirit, who walk with God, not only through the process, through the discipline, but in the accomplishment of His purposes. And the secret of such a life is always the same, that of a clear vision of God. In our moments of pain and trials, it's vital that we don't lose sight of God's plan for our lives. You start majoring on the little things instead of the big picture, that's when trouble starts. And rejoicing in trials only happens when we recognize God's God's control and purpose for what is happening. What is it that makes you cross during the course of the day? You think about all the little things that you get cross about, and you start to get a bad attitude about. But if you just went, well, you know, God's in control of this, God has it all sorted, I'm just going to give everything to God and let Him sort it out. How can you be cross? How can you be upset? James and I had this discussion on one Wednesday night because we have Wednesdays. And things happen on a Wednesday. Because there's a prayer meeting, I'm sure it's Satan at work. And I used to come in on a Wednesday night and James had asked me to song lead and I'd be up at the back there and I'd be fuming about something that happened at work. And he'd say, I'll song lead for you, brother, tonight. You just sit down there. And something just clicked. Nah, that's not right. That's not the right attitude. Because you can have all those things go wrong during the course of the day, but you can still have a good attitude. And it doesn't matter. Your day is still good. Because every day above ground is good. Amen? Every day in the Lord is good. Amen. But if you lose that, then you're going to see things in a false light. And you're going to be lured by the deceitfulness of sin or filled with unworthy fears. You're going to say, look, I've got my rights and I'm entitled to be cross about that. Those people did this to me. Or else you're going to be filled with unworthy fears. You're going to be fearful about the next day. What's going to happen at work? Oh, there's all this talk about restructure. I'm gone for sure. That's not right. It's not right. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. But to see God is to see everything in a true light and so be able to walk without stumbling. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. I read this in my quiet time the other day. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through to 12. Solomon giving some instructions, some advice to his son. He says in verse 10, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." Christians stumble and fall. We stumble and fall because we are human. The doubters here in this passage that we looked at in Numbers, they stumbled, and they were all condemned to die in the wilderness. And you will die spiritually if you stumble. You will have to regain your feet and you'll have to claw your way back. And it takes a long time to claw your way back. And you notice that these people who died in the wilderness, it wasn't really a breach of any commands of the law that shut them out of Canaan. And it wasn't the golden calf that shut them out of Canaan. It was their disbelief that kept them out. Do you have a clear vision of God? Are you able to walk without stumbling in your Christian life? Perhaps the key here was that Caleb was consecrated to God. He was consecrated to God. Back in Numbers chapter 14, verses 21 through 24, looking at the life of Caleb, Numbers chapter 14, verses 21 to 24. God says, "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have hearkened not to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Mercy was extended to Caleb and Joshua so they would survive the years of banishment and live to enter Canaan. The Bible teaches that Caleb had a particular mark of honour on him. Why? Because the Bible says he had another spirit, different from the rest of the spies. And he followed the Lord fully. It should be our desire to follow the Lord fully. Obviously, we're going to fall short from time to time. But those of us who would say, "Yes, Brother Wayne, I have been born again. Yes, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith, I've accepted him as my personal Saviour." We should have that desire to follow the Lord fully. We should, in obedience to God's will, follow him without complaining, without dissension, cheerfully, without disputing, and constantly without declining or falling away. Anything else takes away from the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf on the cross of Calvary. Why did he have to die for us if we're just going to say, "Well, that was just a small thing"? We have no concept. Small thing. You know, sometimes the road's going to be lonely. It's a narrow road, after all, for Bible-believing Christians. And sometimes you will wonder what God's doing. Be careful. God doesn't owe us an explanation of what he's doing in our lives. He doesn't need to provide any justification for his methods. He chooses to bring about his will. Here's a newsflash. He is God and we're not. Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And those that desire to follow God fully must have another spirit, must rely on the Holy Spirit. It's got to be a spirit that's different to those who don't know the Lord, an excellent spirit. And there should be a notable difference in the Christian as opposed to those around you. When I was saved some 21 years ago, people noticed the difference in me straight away. My family noticed, my work colleagues noticed, my closest mate noticed. Pretty sure I freaked them out, but the point was they could tell the difference. I wasn't the same person as before I was saved. And here's something I've seen over the years since. Those that follow God fully, God honours. God will preserve them in times of trouble. Remember Joseph and David, Daniel, the Apostle Paul? But yes, good Bible example. But what about your life? Think about your life. I'm sure that you can recall a time when God bailed you out. When you put God first, you sincerely thought, right, well, I've tried everything else. I'm just going to put God first here, and I'm going to see what happens. And God came through. He can answer a prayer even if you didn't pray it. Another thing I've noticed, God doesn't stop working just because we cannot see what he's doing. He's still there, lovingly working through the circumstances in our lives, always shaping, always moulding us. I remember when one of our kids had trouble sleeping and they were waking up and saying, I can't sleep, I'm worried, I'm worried, I'm worried. And I said, well, does God ever sleep? No. That's it. What are you worried about? Just go to sleep. He's always there. He's always at work. Why is he always at work in us? Because he wants us to become more like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. One more point and I'm done for tonight. Caleb continued to be faithful into his old age. Let's go to Joshua, book of Joshua, chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Verse 7 and through to 14. Now here's the land being divided up. Joshua chapter 14, verses 7 to 14. Wilmington's Guide to the Bible, which is one of those resources the pastor recommended in our Bible study, describes the testimony from Caleb here as one of the most thrilling in all of Scripture. That's a big rap. Joshua chapter 14, verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and that thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Amalekites were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day. City of more than 200,000 this day, by the way. Still survives. Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. What a day it must have been for Caleb. Here he was, 85 years old, still as strong as an ox, claiming his reward, claiming the victory. What a life. What a testimony. And what an inheritance he left for his family. All that from a man whose name means dog.
God can use anyone. Amen. So let me ask you tonight, how are you planning to finish your time on planet Earth? Will you determine to follow the Lord fully or simply fade away? Will you spend your time chasing earthly pleasures or set your affections on things above? Jesus could come back at any time. I think about that a lot these days because I'm nearly 60 now. And, you know, time's on the wing. I don't have time for petty issues. You might think I'm boring, but I just don't like TV. I don't have any time for TV. I don't have any time for video games. I don't have any time for movies. I really struggle to sit down and watch a movie. And I don't have time for rubbish music. Just saying. I know there's people in this church who listen to wrong kind of music. It's a waste. It's a waste of your time. Life's too short. Because if you're like me, you get a song in your head and it stays there. And I hate that. Because if it's the wrong kind of song, I don't want to know it. And you should have psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Life's too short. You know, my family, my work colleagues, my closest mates, they know where to find me. It's right here. I'm here Sunday night. I'm here Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'm here Wednesday night in the prayer meeting. If people are looking for me, they know where to find me. And the Hicksons, we're leaving North Epping now after 18 years. But I know that suburb has heard from us. They've been door knocked. We've had gospel tracts placed on notice boards and letterboxes. And people in North Epping have spent time with the Christian family. When the place was up for sale and people walked through and made a comment, you can know a Bible verse if you stayed in this house. Bible verses were everywhere around the place. That's how it should be. Our new location provides an exciting new opportunity for us. Amen. New suburb, new people to meet, new people to witness to. And that's how we should be. We should be a witness within our community. Now, we have some wonderful people in our church family. We're so thankful for those who have provided meals for us. Blessing. That's a testimony. People who came and helped us move yesterday. What a blessing. What a testimony. Muscles. We needed it at that time. It was great. And it's a wonderful community that is involved with this church. And that's something the world just, they can't get their head around. They can't get near it. When I share that with my colleagues at work, they just say, wow, that's just amazing. That's just so old-fashioned is usually what I get. But that's what a Bible-believing church does. It's wonderful encouragement one to another. And don't we need encouragement in these last days? Caleb was an encourager. He must have been an encourager. You can't stick at it for that long and not be an encourager. Folks, we need to be encouraging one another in the Lord. So it's your choice tonight. Caleb chose to stay faithful to his God, and God came through. He had some character. He was called. He had a great measure of courage. He was kept by the power of God. He was consecrated to God, and he continued on. What a man. What a God he served. May I remind you that we serve the same God tonight. In Psalms 89 and verse 8 to 18, Psalm 89, I'm finishing with this. I'm not finishing with a story tonight. Sorry, guys. You've had a story. It's a wonderful story, Caleb. Psalm 89, verse 8. What kind of God do we serve? O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favour our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defence, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. What a God we serve. Why not determine tonight to follow Caleb's example? Trust God, obey his commands, and claim the victory. I'll ask Brother James to come. Let's just pray first, and then James can give the invitation. It's your choice tonight. The choice is to stay faithful to God and see God work. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for time around your word. Thank you for the godly example of Caleb. Help us tonight, Lord. Help us to trust you and be like Caleb of old. Have that courage and strength to go forward and to serve you in the days to come. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Brother James.